Take your Bibles once again and turn to the second psalm. The second psalm. Once again, there winds up being this talk about the war on Christmas. Now, just to let you know, I don't believe in a war on Christmas. It's a war on Christ. In fact, really, if we Christians stopped and we considered what is going on in so many areas of our nation, if you take it to the root, you wind up realizing that the root is that which is against God. That's what it's coming out of. All of a sudden, government is God. Now, please, don't misunderstand. This, what I'm saying there is not political. It really is a situation where mankind says, we can do the job. We don't need the work of God in our nation. There is stuff that has been going up. We even have a billboard right over here. There's one, Brother Green, I think you posted it on Facebook. Who needs Christ in Christmas? The answer, no one. And it goes on. Sometimes it has to do absolutely with Christmas. But other times it goes a little bit further. Here's just a few examples. A Kansas seventh grader found herself banned from handing out handwritten flyers at her school. Why? Because they include Bible verses and ask friends to join her in prayer before the start of the day. Before the start. But she can't do it. For as long as anyone can remember, teachers at Brooklet Elementary School have posted Christmas cards in the hallways outside their classrooms. Until 2 weeks ago, on Monday, when boys and girls returned from Thanksgiving break, they discovered the teachers' Christmas cards had been removed under order from the Georgia Schools Administration. A middle school student in Kansas who wanted to promote the thing that goes on, I believe, in September, See You at the Poll, that prayer time, was barred from doing so because the flyers that she posted in the school had, watch this, illegal Bible verses. The city of Reno is now dubbing its Christmas tree the holiday tree. In Redmond, Washington, some people are offended because somebody has been putting signs out. Maybe you saw this in the news that say it's okay to say Merry Christmas with Romans 1:16 written underneath. An elementary school in Frisco, Texas is believed to be the first in the state to violate the Merry Christmas law after they banned, listen, Christmas trees and the colors red and green from an upcoming winter party. Now, this is crazy. This is absolutely nuts. A South Carolina charter school has canceled its annual Christmas toy drive after a group of self-described humanists complained that the project violated the U.S. Constitution and accused them of bribing children to convert to Christianity. Now, see, that's what we do, is we bribe. No. We don't bribe. We say Christ is offering eternal life. There's no bribe there at all. None. We see these billboards. I mentioned them to you. I can't remember what the one that says here, but in the Freedom From Foundation organization, praise Darwin, evolve beyond belief. Imagine no religion, a quote from the John Lennon song. Sleep in on Sundays. Boy, there's the one that people will really like. But this was really sad. A woman by the name of Butterfly McQueen, I didn't look her up, but there's a quote, there's a billboard, and she says this, "As my ancestors are free from slavery, I am free from the slavery of religion." You know what? I am too. I don't have religion. I have Christ. I don't need religion. I'm looking at these folks, and I'm not accusing them. I'm not looking at them. I, in a way, I pity them. But I do look back, and especially at this time of year, I think, you know, why do the heathen rage? What is going on? Make no mistake about it. To many, this is what they do. To make Christmas palatable, they need to have a baby Jesus that is harmless. They need to have one that doesn't speak about man's sins. And I love it. I wish I would have recorded this. I'd love to have shown you this. But last year at this time, when I heard this man, by the way, you notice that a lot of this takes place in what people have called the Bible Belt. The Bible Belt has come undone. It's unbuckled. This is just the way it is. But he was there in Texas speaking about this Merry Christmas law. And he's trying to tell these folks, don't you understand that the reason why they're saying Christ came is because of our sin? That's right. Because of our sin. But the question is, really, when you hear this from David, you've got to ask yourself, what is really happening? Now, though it comes later in the Psalms, again, last Sunday we read this. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And we saw what they're doing to Thanksgiving. And by the way, I'm going to be preaching a message soon on contentment, because I really believe that unfettered, godless capitalism is also destroying this nation as well. When you see people going after toys and things and all that, I mean, it's absolutely convicting to those of us folks. We wind up during this time battling our own flesh. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I want you to notice this. I love reading the Psalms. I was in Psalm 19 this morning, and I'm telling you, it was a blessing. I just love Psalm 19. I also love Psalm 1. Let's look at it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And then we find out the ungodly are not so. I love that psalm. So right after you hear that, you hear the blessing of the person that's listening to the Word of God, that's doing the Word of God. The very next psalm, you hear this question. First of all, I want you to note, please, if you're taking notes, first of all, I want you to note the rage. The rage. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? In this verse, the very first thing you find is furor and fantasy. Furor and fantasy. You could put it derision and delusion. They're raging. And they're also thinking vain thing. Now, I want you to notice this. This is interesting. I want you to go back to Psalm 1, the psalm just before that. Look at this. Remember this. His delight, verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he, what? What's the word there? Meditate day and night. It literally means to pass the night, to murmur. And what you're doing is you're going over and over. You've taken, it's like a cow chewing its cud. You burp it up and you're just, you know, you're going it over and over and over. I want you to notice something. Look at verse 1, chapter 2, verse Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Folks, the word meditate and the word imagine are the same Hebrew word. I thought that was fascinating. Picture this. When these people, when the heathen, the godless, when they go into a rage, it's because they have been meditating on something that is false, on something that's empty, something that's wrong. A wrong view of God, a wrong view of the Scripture, a wrong view of their own creation, a wrong view of life. And the answer is not just simply religion. The answer is not just getting into a tradition. That's a vain thing as well. I just thought that fascinating. You see, the godly man uses his imagination to meditate on the things of God. Now, please hear that out. The godly man. Well, go to Psalm 19. Go to Psalm 19. Look at the very last verse. This is the one that really caught me this morning. It was a joy. Look at verse 14. Let the words of my mouth, watch this, same thing, same word, and the meditation of my heart, what? Be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Go back to Psalm 2. So here is a godly man, and he's saying, Lord, you know what? I want to please you today. I'm going to be thinking about you. Lord, I want my thoughts to please you. When I give account for this day, I want you to be thankful. I want you to be glad that I was thinking about you because, Lord, I know you were thinking about me. Now, that's the godly man. But the godless man, the godless nations, use their imaginations to find ways to rid mankind of God. You see, this is what our courts, this phrase right here, this is what our courts call a premeditated crime. We talk about premeditated murder. It's something that was thought of before. That's what this word means. The true Christ of the Bible is a threat to the godless, along with the Bible itself. Now, think of this. This is crazy. Here. This is an iPad. Who designed it? Steve Jobs, Apple, okay? Steve Jobs was never a threat to me. In fact, I'm kind of glad he came up with something like this. Why is it that a person who designs an iPad or a refrigerator or a lawnmower or an air conditioner and a heater or a type of clothing, why is there no problem there, but when we think of somebody who designed us, they're a threat? Now, this is where we come together as a church and we meditate and we say, Lord, I want to know the depth of this. Because, Lord, there's an organization that put a billboard right out here, and they're trying to show themselves as being nice people, intelligent people, caring people, and I'm sure that they show that to a degree. But the fact of the matter is, at the very core, they're godless, and Lord, they hate you. And I don't understand. Lord, why? Why do the heathen rage, the people that don't know you? Why do they see you as being a threat? Well, if you open the Bible and you read places like Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 18, you find out that God has mankind pegged. Because those sins that are listed there are at the core. You think of this in Proverbs 6. Remember this? These six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. What's the very first one? A proud look. And what is it that mankind winds up happening when he wants to do things on his own? Hey, I can do it. I can do it. That's why I cringe when I hear somebody like Rush Limbaugh talking about talent on loan from God, the way he says it. I wish his brother, who is truly a born-again Christian, I wish his brother could finally be used of the Spirit to get through to him and say, Rush, you don't need brains like that. You need the salvation that Christ offers. Absolutely. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Listen, God has mankind outside of Christ. He's got him pegged. Mankind is his own best indicator of what is wrong in this world. And those billboards and evolution and godless man-centered government are just small examples of what has been going on since the garden when man sinned. Why do the heathen rage? Number one, that's the rage. Number two, I want you to write this down, the rebellion. Watch this. This is interesting. Look at verse 2. The kings of the earth set themselves. And the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, now notice what they say. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. You see that word set? The word literally means to take a position, to take a stand. Stop and think about it. In spite of, you know, so many millions that celebrate Christmas, do you realize that just about every nation on earth, in one way, shape, or form, to one degree or another, has set itself against the true gospel of Jesus Christ? We will tolerate religion. We will tolerate, we'll tolerate the baby. We'll even tolerate a little bit what people celebrate in Easter. But when it comes to the absolute gospel, that's why you have small town America and major cities saying no to the true gospel. They don't want it. That's the way it is. That's the reason why it is so many places around the world. I was listening again to Dr. Ron Comfort's message that he preached here on the famine is coming. You know, praise God for our missionaries like the Youngs that are in Russia right now, that, by the way, in some ways have more freedom of religion than we do. But he said back in, he heard that back in 1972, when communism was still going full force there in Russia, that somebody handed out a gospel tract to somebody else and wound up going to prison for 3 years because of that. By the way, we've got people today saying, you can't hand out tracts. You can't give out the gospel. They are this close to more and more speaking, saying that this is hate speech. If I preached on Genesis 19 this morning in Canada, I would be guilty of preaching hate speech. This is not hate. It's for God so loved the world. I praise God for that. It's almost like there's a United Nations resolution with all the nations that have said, you know what, and it's going to get worse. We're going to cast off the bands. We don't want what, when it comes to the quote-unquote Judeo-Christian ethic, we don't want that. We will set our own standards. Can you find a Bible-preaching chaplain in the United Nations today? No, absolutely not. Go back to the first part again of this. Listen to some of the words, the first part of this psalm. Why do the heathen, now that's the, literally the nations, and the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, the rulers. You see, this is coming not just from the top down, it's coming from the bottom up. They're both coming together and they're saying, we don't want this anymore. I'll never forget seeing the video of that man that was really belittling the Bible. Over 1,000 high school students were there. And he started railing on the Bible when it comes to certain things about what it preaches against the modern lifestyles. And there were about 100 students that got up and walked out. But you know what saddened me? The majority of those students were applauding. The majority were applauding. That is sad. That is so very sad. Today we're witnessing more and more a resistance and a rebellion against a holy God. It's been in our music. It's been in the declarations, in the teachings, in public government schools. It's there. It's being taught. People today, therefore, they want something different. Give me the Catholic Jesus. Give me the Mormon Jesus. Give me the Jehovah's Witness to Jesus that really wasn't God, it was Michael the Archangel. Give me something different other than God come in the flesh. I want you to go to Acts chapter 4. You see, in the New Testament, we wind up, this is really interesting how much the second psalm is quoted. Do you know that the first psalm, Psalm 1, is never quoted in the New Testament? But the second psalm is quoted 8 times. 8 times. Look at this in Acts chapter 4. Look at verse 23. The disciples, after having suffered at the hands of the rulers for preaching Christ, listen to what they say. Verse 23, Acts 4. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God. Now I'm telling you, here's a prayer meeting I would have loved to have been in. I mean, in one accord, the people are coming together and saying, God, Thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of Thy servant David hath said, why do the people heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth, against Thy holy child Jesus, whom Thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatsoever Thy hand and Thy counsel determined before to be done. You see, it was fulfilled initially here, but it has continued. And now it will go through again where the world will come against, once again, against God. If there was ever a valid reason to praise the Lord, it is the death of Christ on the cross for our sins and the resurrection. The fact that He took our place, paid our debt, set us free. That's a reason to praise God. Our sins are gone, folks. You realize you are not... Isn't that a joy? Edgar, do you realize the sins are gone? You know, remember we sang just recently, you know, the wise man built his house upon the rock. Okay, remember that? Well, you remember the other song we used to sing as kids? Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free and in my heart a song. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good. You need to let loose the child inside of you sometimes. Yes, that's good enough for me. Praise God. My sins are G-O-N-E gone. I don't know, Bruce. What do you think? I think we need to get all of you up here. Get you in front of the camera so you can sing to the world, you know. Of course, with that solo they just heard off of this, maybe they've shut it off by now. But listen, instead, what do they cry out? Let us break their bands asunder. Verse 3, go back if you would to Psalm 2. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. You see, sinful man not only wants rid of the person of God, but his precepts as well. They hate both the character and the commands of Jehovah. They despise his lordship over creation and his laws over mankind. If they can get rid of him in creation, they can get rid of him when it comes to his laws. And so therefore, believe in Darwin and sleep in on Sunday morning. Well, you know, I'd love to hear a message from Darwin right now. I'd love to hear the message that he would preach. Thirdly, lastly, heaven's response. I was foolish enough to believe some time ago that when it came to communism, we didn't have to worry too much anymore. And yet it's on the rise here. Why? Because atheism is on the rise. So what we need to do, why did the heathen rage? We need to take note of heaven's response. And we need to act in accordance with it. Folks, the wicked and their God, Satan, the wicked are invigorated. They are feeling emboldened. We need to be as well, because we have the true power from heaven. There's a fourfold response. There's a fourfold response in the rest of the psalm, and we'll go through this quickly. First of all, there is David, who speaks in verses 1 through 3. But now, Notice that God the Father speaks. This is fascinating. God the Father speaks. Look at verse 4. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. You see, God answers David's question. David was in the first three verses. David was looking and he's saying, God, I don't understand. You promised me that there would be somebody on my throne forever. And now the people are rebelling. This is happening when David's alive. He says, I don't see this. He looks down the corridor of time and he sees, Lord, are you sure? And God the Father answers. And he says, listen, when it comes, David, to the nations and their response, it's ludicrous. It's a laugher. It's laughable. They can't take me and do me away. Remember Life magazine decades ago, God is dead. That was some of the most stupid things. You know, the response by mankind when it comes to the existence of God? No way. The great tribulation and the wrath of God will let mankind know just how foolish he is in rejecting God. Mankind can resist and rebel all he wants. Jesus is going to reign in Jerusalem. And not only that, He will reign, rule and reign for 1,000 years here on earth, and He will rule forevermore. Amen. And speaking of Him, now God the Son answers. Look at this. So God the Father, first of all, in the response, then secondly, God the Son. Verse 7, I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten Thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Who will? Christ. We already read that He's going to rule with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. The Son of God now assures David. The Father spoke, now the Son speaks. And he says, listen, I will reign. One of these days, Antichrist and his minions are going to encircle Jerusalem. We've got them now. No, God will look down and He will say, they're right where I want them. They're right where I want them. In fact, I drew them here. Listen. It's amazing the emotions that you can go through when you look at mankind. And you see some of the things that are awaiting mankind. You know, Nelson Mandela died this last week. Folks, I'm sure he meant well and such, but Nelson Mandela was a communist. You need to see the video from a Christian missionary of what this man pushed. The wickedness that was pushed there. But I don't revel in the fact that he's dead now. None of us would. We don't have a joy because God doesn't. He says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But at the same time, my God is glorified. And there will be a time when those that rebel against Him will pay the ultimate price. And we will stand there and say, Amen, Amen. Because they know now that God is exactly who He said He was. Even today, there are people, you know, there are maps, by the way, that are put out that do not have the nation of Israel where it's at. It just says Palestine. This is interesting. See, there is so much that goes back to true biblical things when you look at it deeper. When you mention certain things, you say, well, now you're getting political. No, I'm not. I'm getting biblical. I'm getting biblical. You see, abortion, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill. Even you know, when people talk about welfare and stuff, hey, if a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. Now, wait a minute. Can some people not work? I understand that. But get it away from the government. Once again, let people bring forth the best, what God has put in them. Give them the gospel and see what happens. You see, there's so much of this that you can answer with the Bible, with the Word of God. Finally, God the Holy Spirit. Now you say, well, I don't see this. Listen carefully, please. Look at verse 10. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they that put their trust in him. You see, that's the message of the Spirit today, speaking through the believer. This is what the Holy Spirit is doing. He is the one that's lifting the Son. God the Father has already spoken. God the Son has assured David, I will be on the throne. Now God the Holy Spirit says, be wise, kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Be careful. Kiss the Son. Come to Him. Give Him what is His due. If you don't, guess what? You perish from the way. You will feel His wrath. The Spirit upholds the sovereign claims of Christ. And He brings the warning to the nations. It's not too late. It's not too late. It's not too late to lay down the arms of rebellion. But still, they come. We're not going to have this man rule over us. The fact of the matter is, God offers man peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Can picture that. What would happen if the entire earth turned to Christ now? I know it's not going to happen, you know, until something. Yeah, it'd be awesome. But think if people turned to Christ. What a difference it would make. Think of if God's people let their sin aside. Folks, can we have, this is free. This is something I'm just giving from the side. Okay? Let's search our hearts. You know, you never know what God might show you about your own life. I mean, it has been wonderful. Since I've been praying, I've just been asking God to open my eyes on some things. Folks, I'm telling you, you get to understand why, after all that he had written, all that he had preached, all that he had taught, Paul turned around and said, he's the chief of sinners. You're kidding, Paul. Look what you've written. Look what you've taught. Look what you've done for people. He says, no, I'm the chief of sinners. You know one thing I've noticed? The more people have a desire to go after God and get close, the more they recognize their own wretchedness. Folks, let's do that. Sin isn't worth it. It just isn't. It just isn't. Let God search your heart. Please. I don't know how else to say it. You know, babbling lips, human lips have a hard time saying what the eternal truths are in God's Word. It has to be the Spirit. Listen to the Spirit. He spoke here. He's speaking now. The Father spoke. David, he's going to be there. The Son spoke. David, I'm going to be there. The Holy Spirit says, listen, people, pay attention. He's going to be there. He's going to be there. You ask the question, why do the heathen rage? There was a medal that was struck by a Caesar. His name was Diocletian. Now again, remember, this is just shortly after Christ was on earth. In this inscription, on this coin that was struck, it said, the name of Christians being extinguished. It said that on the coin. In Spain, there were two pillars that were raised. Two pillars raised in Spain. On it, on those two pillars was written this. On one pillar, Diocletian, Caesar Augusti, for having extended the Roman Empire in the East and in the West, comma, and for having extinguished the name of Christians, listen, who brought the Republic to ruin. That was there on one. On the other, it said this. Same name. Diocletian, Jovian, Maximian, Herculius, Caesarea, Augusti. For having adopted Galerius in the East, and for having everywhere abolished the superstition of Christ, comma, for having extended the worship of the gods. In other words, he tried to do away with Christ, and he wanted to extend the worship of the gods of Rome. That was back then. I think Diocletian knows now that he didn't destroy Christianity. If he doesn't now, he will know someday. But you see, there has been person after person after person after person that has done this very thing. Now you wind up in Muslim countries. You convert to Christianity, you're dead. While at the same time, they come to our country and they ask for equal treatment. Something's wrong here. But again, they need the gospel. In North Korea, a silly thing they did to that 85-year-old man. But there have been Christians that have been giving the gospel there, and they have been killed, tortured, murdered. There's that Pastor Syed, I believe is how you pronounce his name, in Iran, right now, that was put in a prison. They're fearing for his life. They hate the gospel. Why do the people rage? Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? They don't know our Christ. They don't know Him. But what we need to do is, first of all, we need to hear the Father, Son, and the Spirit. They've spoken. God has spoken. They need to hear the same message. Christ is coming. He will reign. And today is the day of salvation. He is coming. He will reign. And today is the day of salvation. Kiss the Son. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we rejoice in the message that we have. Lord, help us to understand that it is ours not just to embrace, but to share. And in this time, the enemies of the gospel indeed have been emboldened. There have been those that have lashed out at you. This has been the same all through time. Lord, I pray that instead of a lashing out, you would find a love in us. We thank you for that gospel. Lord, I pray that first and foremost here, those of us who name the name of Christ, we would cleanse ourselves. We would come and seek the cleansing of you, the blood of Christ. May we confess it. Confess sin. Lord, that we would be acceptable in thy sight, not only with our words as we saw in Psalm 19, but the meditation of our heart, what we're thinking about. Lord, we want to please you in what we think, what we do, what we say, so that we can be fit vessels to give a message to those that rage that there is a God of love. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking about. It's a joy at the end of every